Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Hello. It's me.
Hello, world. It's me, too.
I want to make a special announcement before we get into it.
Well, first, hi, I'm Jen. This is Fat Mascara.
Oh, hi, I'm Jessica. Here's the scoop. We are going dark next Friday. Real dark. Because Jen and I are going to be whooping it up on the dance floor at my wedding.
I love that it was Jen and I, not I'm getting married, Jen and I are going to be dancing.
Well, I'm looking at it through the Fat Mascara lens.
My
family will be there, my friends will be there, my fiance will be there, hopefully.
If he's not, you
guys will hear about it on Fat Mascara, okay?
Your face looks so cute and nervous a little.
I do, I feel like a little funny. Like, we were practicing the run of show last night. I couldn't stop giggling. And I said, I can't be giggling up at the front like a fool.
Wait, you did like the whole walkthrough?
No, we did like a run of show with the ceremony. Like the, like the, you know, who says what, who goes where, who babidi-boo. And I was like hysterical laughing.
Meanwhile, you have
hysterical laughing.
Worldwide podcast you're able to get done every week. You can handle this.
Fat Mascara Worldwide. Pitbull.
Oh my God, this could go into a whole other place.
Yeah, this is really like,
let's get back on track.
I got really like severe giggles. So anyway, I am very excited about next week. There's going to be a Fat Mascara transformation. I'm coming back as a Mrs. But I hope you guys really enjoy this episode.
Because it's going to have to last you for 2 weeks.
Yeah, for two whole weeks.
So what are we going to talk about
okay.
for two whole weeks of listening?
Okay, we're going to finally address the topic that just won't die. Can you be addicted to lip balm? Then we have a great listener cue. Can you moisturize on the go? We're going to tell you how to keep it neat. And then, can beer make your hair better? Glug, glug, glug. I found out.
That feels like a magazine article for sure. Our guest is going to talk all things probiotic, prebiotic, postbiotic, gut flora, little bugs on your skin. It's Dr. Whitney Bow, a dermatologist and the author of the new book, The Beauty of Dirty Skin.
Wow, thanks a lot, Justin Anderson. He's blowing up our Facebook group with his theory that chapstick or lip balm, I don't want to associate it to one brand in particular, but lip balm makes you addicted to more lip balm.
Yeah, that was our guest, what, two,
like a
three,
month ago or something, yeah. But
controversial words on Fat Mascara.
I know, I know. He had that little, like, little blonde terror. Mm-hmm. Love him. But he said that his like boyfriend started using lip balm, and now they have to like pop into like a CVS to get more lip balm. If he's lost it, he goes like crazy. And that Justin himself had weaned himself off the drug. And then on the Facebook group, you guys were like, Jess, like, why are you so like neg on him? Like, I think it's true. And then like there's just a whole forum about this.
I actually agreed with him while he was talking, but didn't want to take us off topic, because this winter, I was like, this winter, I'm not going to have chapped lips. And I don't really get that bad of chapped lips, mm-hmm. but I started wearing like lip balm more than usual. I swear to God, then I started getting chapped lips more than usual. So then I was putting on more lip balm. I went through 2 actual jars of lip balm, which usually takes me like 2 years to get through a whole jar.
Mm.
Hello, my name is Jen Goldstein. I'm addicted to lip balm. What did you learn?
I feel like it's just a comfort thing. It's like my friend said this about moisturizer. This is hard to believe. One of my closest friends did not wear moisturizer. I can't believe this. We had an intervention. I gave her some things. And then a few months later, I was like, how are you doing with this, that, and the other thing? And she's like, I have a theory, and I think that it actually makes your skin drier. I think that it makes your skin addicted. And it was like this cockamamie theory. We actually got into like a loose, like, I would say a loose argument about it. Mm-hmm. We had to stop it. I said, it's just now you're used to knowing what comfortable, hydrated skin feels like. So when you don't use it, she was like, it's big beauty. It's like, you know, like big tobacco.
Yeah, but people say that about shampoos too. Like if you stop shampooing, you don't need to shampoo as much because your oil levels regulate, or even not deodorant. Like people that don't wear deodorant seem to like smell less than those that do.
I disagree. I know some of these people. And have you really seen someone who doesn't shampoo their hair?
Yeah, if they wait long enough, because you have to purge out all the stuff. But you know what? I'm not ready to like stand behind those words. I'm not dying on those words, people. Let's get back to lip balm.
Okay. So what do you really think?
I want to talk about cell turnover a little. Can we? Here's the thing that might be what's going on with people that are lip balm addicted. That I think is what was going on with me. Right? Your cells, they dry off, they flake off. Sometimes that's in a chappy way. Sometimes it's in a I hardly notice it way. And then deep within the basal dermal layer. I forget what the bottom layer is called. Anyway, you make new cells, they rise to the top, good stuff. If you have like a thick layer of lip balm on, they're not able to flake off, and you're not signaling to the new cells, like, come on up, new cells, be fresh and moisturized.
And where did you get this information?
I know the chemists over at Beauty Brains have talked about it.
Okay.
But I've also talked to dermatologists about this, and they say there is some truth about that, because you need to signal to your skin time to make new cells. And it sort of tricks your skin into thinking, all our good cells are still good, so we don't need to make new cells. You know what I mean?
I think if your lips are like coated in Vaseline like 24/7, like that's another story. But I think the way the average user uses lip balm, your lips are getting exposed to the air.
And you're sleeping, would be going through.
Yeah, like you're sleeping in the night. You're not like getting up every 15 minutes to like put on lip balm. I think that like there is like a reasonable amount of exposure that your lips are still getting. That
I feel like you might be right.
More dramatic than they need to be.
But then maybe that's what the problem is. The people that apply it all the time, constantly, like can't even stand the feeling of an unbalmed lip, are the ones that are addicted, because they truly are never getting the signal to their skin to turn over and make new skin.
I'm willing to meet you halfway, and I think, and I'm not a scientist, but there's just something that I just, for some reason, maybe it's my own like weird stubbornness, feels like, I'm not completely sure. Again, don't have a PhD, but I like that with the mix of you don't like the freaking feeling. You know what I mean? It's like if
a non-moisturized.
Yeah, and that's okay.
Okay, the last part though that we have to put to rest is the whole thing about the menthol. If your lip balm is one that contains menthol or camphor, those you might get addicted to, in the sense that they can actually make some people's lips drier. I've talked to derms about this. They have like a evaporation speed that flashes off moisture that gives you that whole cooling sensation, which could be good if you had like a cold sore or something oily that you wanted to dry up. And it also is very soothing when your lips hurt and are red. But in the long run, menthol and camphor really can dry out your lips.
So what are some lip balms that you are loosely addicted to?
I wouldn't call it.
Which ones do you really like?
I'm going to sound so snooty, but I got it for free on this press trip. It was in like the little gift bag.
I'm curious.
Oh my God, it's La Mer lip balm.
It's really
good. Wow, no, that was pretty snooty.
I think it's $50 a tube.
That's probably the cheapest thing LaMer makes.
I'm embarrassed for myself. I can't even say it out loud. So let's go to the drugstore one that I love. CeraVe makes a really nice lip balm.
Oh, I don't doubt it.
It's SPF 30, and it's not as, like, waxy. It's shinier than, like, a chapstick. So if you like a waxy finish, which a lot of people do because they don't want it to be too slippery, go more like a Burt's Bees chapstick. But the CeraVe one is a little bit, like, smoother and slipperier.
I like that.
How about you? What's your favorite?
I really like, we've talked about this on the show, the Pharmacy Honey Butter Lip Balm.
Oh.
I also love, that comes in a stick, really nice, easy to apply. I also love Lush Honey Pot. There's a lot of honey things happening, and that's like in a little, like a little tin, and that's really thick, and I really like that one. I do like Burt's Bees. I like the tinted ones.
There's a honey theme here.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I didn't even think about the Burt's Bees. That's like, those are my favorites.
Good ones. Yeah. So, guys, do not slather it on 24/7. Don't wake up in the middle of the night to put it on, and then you will not get addicted. You heard it here.
I feel like there's still going to be a rumbling about this.
Oh, yeah. We'll be doing this again next year.
Listener question.
We gave up on the sound effects, but there you go.
From the fabulous Natalie.
Hi, Natalie.
Natalie over from the UK. Natalie, thank you. I'm so glad you could hear us from there. So she wants to know, we've never gotten this question before, but I really like it and it seems really useful. She wants to know, do you know of a product that comes in a little transportable pot? I'm hoping it could be in a stick too, Natalie, right? Little pot that's suitable for reapplying over makeup during the day to get rid of creases. I have this problem all of the time. Put on my makeup, looks poreless, gorgeous, and then 2 o'clock rolls around and it looks like, you know, crinkle face. It looked like a paper bag.
It didn't used to happen to me, but as I have more fine lines now, like, yeah, it gets stuck in there. And I don't think it's the concealer's problem or the foundation's problem. I think it's just the nature of a more textured skin surface.
Oh, lucky us.
So what do you do?
So I've been, first I've been priming. That's like the one thing. Before we even talk about moisturizer, if I want to make the extra step, I prime. I really like Benefit's range of primers. They make a ton. They make like more primers than I think is really necessary. Really, really Benefit. Like,
chill on the primer sitch.
It's okay. We got it. So right now I'm using this pearly one. I'll put the name on the blog, but it's like professional pearl something. And it's very nice and it doesn't shine through too much because I like a lot of glow and I can't have a glowy primer and then like a, you know, highlighter on
top.
Does
it prevent the creasing that she's talking about?
Yes, it's like a satiny base. Oh, nice. So that helps with that. But then she really raised a good question because what I do to prevent the creasing is I just add more makeup, like they just slap that on. I carry my Benefit Boing concealer with me, and I pat it on. There has to be a better way, and I'm glad you've raised this. So I did some digging, and both digging online, but also like digging back into my memory. I remember the first, and this sounds like a freaking advertorial for Benefit. I swear to you guys, it's not. I remember the first
Dr. Feelgood.
Yep, thank you. I knew it. Okay. Well, let's fill in the blank for those who are like, what are they talking about, like the Motley Crue song? Okay, like Dr. Feelgood was a product. It came in a little tin. So you were right with the little transportable pot. And it was like this balm. It was a texture that no one had done before. It wasn't a moisturizer. So if you're looking for a moisturizer, Natalie, I'm sorry to disappoint you. But
stay tuned. I'll help with that.
Okay, great. But it's a balm. It's not going to dry out your face, but it does just kind of mattify. It has a satiny thing, and it just kind of blurs. It's like the blur cream before blur creams even existed.
And it puts the makeup back together.
Yeah. It puts it back together. It's the super glue. The super glue.
You want my tips?
Yeah. What do you got?
Well, I just want to also recommend, if anybody wants to listen, episode 52, we had on Emily Weiss from Glossier. She talked about this too. Remember, she said her face turns into a Picasso painting.
Oh, that's funny.
With like one piece here and one piece there, and then she mushes on moisturizer to get it back together.
Which one did she use? I don't recall.
Probably Glossier, I'm guessing. You know how people like to talk about their products. But for Natalie, our listener, I wanted to recommend some of the ones I like. And like you said, they are, a lot of them sticks. So remember Mustela?
Oh, yeah. They made baby products, too.
It's a baby. I think it was a chafing thing for babies when it first started. It's an Italian brand. It's called Hydra Stick. It's only $9. It looks like a little mini deodorant.
That's a great one, but can be very rich if you have already combination skin, not dry skin. The other one I like is the e.l.f. Cosmetics one. Only $8. They have two versions, but I'm into their like workout ready hydration stick.
Oh, I love that.
I think it's from their athleisure line.
Okay.
So it looks like a little twist up foundation, but it's actually just a moisturizer instead. And that's only $8. And then, do you know the brand Nude Sticks?
Oh, yes.
Everything comes in a pencil. So they have a moisture pencil that sharpens in a sharpener just like a pencil, but instead of getting a crayon in there, you're getting a solid moisturizer stick. That's especially good for like under the eyes, a little crease, because you could just draw it right over where the crease is.
I always get like, it's like three little fine lines. I know,
like little whiskers under your eyes.
Whiskers, exactly.
But with the pencil, I've tried this. You do still need to then like take your, you know, middle finger and just sort of pat it in. Pat, don't rub. So, Natalie, I hope that answers your question. Yeah.
Great one, Natalie. Mwah. We were drinking in the morning, Jen.
Who's we and what were you drinking?
I was at the Brew event. Have you heard of Brew? B-R-O-O? Brew?
I have, but our listeners might not have.
Brew is this boozy new line.
You're so dramatic today. Everything's like I'm on QVC.
Well, you know I love QVC and HSN.
Okay, give it to me. What's Brew about?
Okay, so Brew is this boozy new hair care line made from beer.
Yes.
The folks are from Asheville. I love Asheville.
Oh.
It's like so like, you know, laid back, trippy.
Good food.
Good food.
North Carolina vibes.
Good vegetarian food, I might add. And they decided to create this hair care line with like beer extracts. And I was thinking, is this kind of gimmicky? And then, you know, I really didn't know. I've heard like a beer rinse like maybe once in my life and it went in one ear and out the other. And then I learned that women throughout history, like some really chic women, have been doing the beer thing.
Yeah.
Jackie O, of all, I didn't think she'd even been near a beer. She used a hair beer, like a beer rinse in her hair.
I feel like I might know the reason why, though, for that one. I've talked to stylists about this. Before there were like volumizers and thickeners, they often used like beer in a spray bottle to sort of thicken the hair. And then as a rinse, I guess that's different, though.
Yeah.
But I mean, who else?
The gorgeous Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Okay.
I mean, these are not women who I think are doing like a beer rinse. When I think of a beer rinse, I thought like, you know, it's like moonshine down on the farm before we had like real hair products. Well,
why are they doing it? What are the benefits?
The benefits are beer is very rich in B vitamins.
Mm-hmm. Oh, like panthenol, B5.
Mm-hmm. Minerals.
That makes sense.
Proteins. And I use this Brew line, and it doesn't smell like, you know, Budweiser, but it does have this very, like, yeasty smell. Like, if you ever go to, like, a brewery, there's that kind of, like, weird sour smell. You know, it's like a...
The good version, not the frat house sticky
version. Not Animal House. Very, like, upscale brewery.
Hoppy.
Let's call it hoppy.
Hoppy, if you will.
The shampoos and the conditioners do have a hoppy smell, but they're not. But it doesn't feel off-putting. So I've been using these products. I have to say I really like them.
Your hair looks really thick. Shine?
Thank you.
I don't know, but what's it for more? Just like vitamins just for general
strength,
upkeep.
Yeah. Fortification. Mm-hmm. And then as I was researching this, like it was almost like hilarious. I got this email that said like Redken introduces their new Brew line.
That's not a new product though. They had, I almost chimed in to say Redken had a beer product for men like a couple years ago. And I think they just reformulated it. Because they were like, ooh, let's change the angle and make it not about like boozy frat head, but instead about, you know, the health benefits.
It's all about, you know, like fortifying the hair and like the men. I have to say the branding's really cute. It's like not too cutesy, but it comes in like very like, you know, craft
it's
beer.
It's very heritage crafty. Mm-hmm. It feels, you know, it feels right. Feels right now.
Very, very Billy Berg.
Yeah.
So have you ever like had a flirtation with this line?
With not these, with those beer products, stuff? But I remember when I was doing a DIY story like years ago, I did the beer rinse, which is when you do shampoo, conditioner, then you're supposed to like saturate in beer, rinse it out and condition again. But I will tell you when you do it straight from the can, you cannot get rid of that smell.
Really?
Like even with a rinse, I felt like I was walking around like, I just remember college where you'd go into like rooms like 2 days later and it's this like stale beer stench.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say go with the Brew
instead
or the Redken.
It's really good. I normally don't get excited about new hair product lines.
Yeah, you never are into hair. I like that you're...
No, I really
such
like...
Such a lush. You just like the booze angle. Okay, so we're here.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Here with Dr. Whitney Bowe. She's a dermatologist in New York City, also an assistant professor of dermatology at Mount Sinai Medical Center, and the author of the new book, The Beauty of Dirty Skin. I want to make sure I get this right. The Surprising Science of Looking and Feeling Radiant from the Inside Out.
It is perfect.
Was that professional?
You nailed
that was so
it.
Profesh.
Yes.
Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm a huge fan. I love listening to you guys.
You
so it's so much fun to be the third voice today. I sure do.
Okay. Have you learned anything?
I have. I've learned a lot of things. I believe my favorite one was when you said that being on an airplane is a farty experience. And you were just like, it's just farty.
I was like, I get that.
Mm-hmm. I so get that. And then I was like, I love this podcast.
I just kind of want to know, what made you become a doctor? Why did you want to be a doctor?
So I had a very unique experience growing up. My father was completely deaf. So he lost his hearing at the age of 3. Hmm. He had a really high fever, and the doctors couldn't tell if it was the fever or an antibiotic they gave him, something called gentamicin that causes nerve damage in your ear. But basically, he completely lost his hearing. And then he became a very powerful advocate for people with disabilities. And he met my mom. My mom was a sign language therapist. So he was getting his PhD at NYU. She was getting her master's. And they just totally bonded over, they had a shared passion for sort of helping. They wanted to see through a disability to the person behind the disability and empower that person and sort of have, there was a very deep amount of empathy in my household growing up. But when I was in medical school, we had the option of sort of shadowing different people. And I shadowed somebody in what we call the acne clinic. Mm-hmm. And I just remember that experience of seeing people literally transform. Like they start with, you know, they're not making eye contact and they've got these big long bangs and their heads down, baseball cap, and, you know, and they've got disfiguring acne or whatever it is that's stopping them from being who they are. And through the course of treatment, that person came through, that person emerged, and all of a sudden their personality came out. And they started dating and they went out for the school play or they went out for a job or like it was that transformation and that it sort of resonated with me. It wasn't what my parents had done, but it was sort of my way of sort of seeing through the skin issue to the person and bringing that person out, if that makes sense
to you. Like there was something physical that was blocking
something that the world wasn't seeing.
And the world sort of judges. They think you're contagious, right? They think there's something wrong with you. Like you're, you know, the boy with vitiligo. You're the boy with the white spots and the black spots. You're not like Daniel, you know, like it just takes away. And then so there was something about being able to treat the skin and sort of let people not be the disease. You know, it was the person who just happens to have a case of acne. And when their acne goes away, that person can come forward. So there was something about that that for me, you know, being in that field, I was like, this field is different from any of the other fields. Like, you're not judged so quickly if you have high blood pressure or if you have diabetes. Like, people don't know. Right. They, you know, the world doesn't just judge you, and it's not this stigma. Yeah. But when you have a skin disease, like, you carry that burden with you every day, and the whole world just interacts with you differently. And it changes how you see yourself, and it changes the way that you feel about living in that world.
So you, you know, eventually you became a dermatologist. Are you, you're a dermatologist. You're not a cosmetic dermatologist, right?
So I primarily, in my office, I do procedures most of the day.
What does that mean?
So I have over 50 lasers and devices, and I do a ton of injectables like Sculptra and other types of fillers, Botox, Dysport. I'll do microneedling, vampire facials. I'll do PRP injections into the scalp. I'll do all this.
But will you see people with acne?
So I do. And what's really unique about my practice is that most of my patients come to me for the cosmetic intervention, but then during the procedures, like a lot of the time my procedures will last half an hour, 45 minutes if I'm doing a procedure on them. And sometimes people are on Valium because it takes away the pain. And so we started having these very open conversations. And my passion is nutrition, exercise, diet, you know, how all those things sort of from the inside out affect the skin. And then my patients would come back. And they would say, like, oh, I started making those changes. I started drinking kombucha. I started cutting out the sugar. I started doing that meditation on that app that you told me about. Mm. And they would be able to space out their Botox appointments more. Or they'd be able you'd get more out of their – like they said, my skin has never looked so good. And, yes, like, you know, I'm still – I still love the treatments that you're doing for me. But – and then I thought to myself, like, this is something that – you shouldn't have to live in New York City and have this astronomical budget to be able to transform your skin. Like, there's so many dramatic things that you can do for your skin without seeing, you know, a Park Avenue Upper East Side dermatologist.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of what inspired me to write the book, is that I wanted someone who, like, anyone on any budget, you know, can actually really have beautiful, radiant skin.
Really transform their skin without seeing.
So you can.
Don't tell us we just drink kombucha and we're going to be beautiful.
Kombucha.
It's like it's the elixir of the gods.
If you're looking, if you're looking to change the shape of your eyebrows, to change the structure of your cheekbones, if you're looking to enhance your lips into a beautiful Cupid's bow and get rid of your acne scarring, you kind of need to see me in my office. You kind of need to do some procedures, right? But if you're struggling with acne, if you're struggling with rosacea, if you're struggling with eczema, if you're struggling with premature signs of aging like dryness, fine lines, sort of dull, uneven skin, there's actually a significant amount that you can do right at home on any budget with simple things like diet, lifestyle, stress reduction, and skincare without spending a fortune to do in-office procedures. Yes, my celebs, my influencers, I treat a lot of very high-profile patients, and their well-being depends on looking absolutely amazing and flawless. So they want to combine the most cutting-edge technologies, and I do those technologies with them.
Yeah.
But I can tell you that we don't get the results that they're looking for unless they're also on board with the other aspects. And we've had that conversation, and a lot of patients will come to me and say, like, but if I'm spending the money on this, why do I have to eat well or exercise well or sleep well? Like, can't we just fix it by doing, you know, this procedure?
Yeah, I would think that, like, if I spend enough money can fix anything.
Can I hide it? Like, I look tired, but if you just put enough filler under my eyes, can I not look tired? And yeah, I can make a really big difference with filler under the eyes, and I can make you look like you slept well the night before. But if you want to look, if you want to really have that glow that, like, across the room, somebody says, like, wow, you really look healthy. Like, your skin is a window into your overall health. Like, it reflects everything that you're doing.
It's not just lifestyle things, though. There's hard science behind this. Like, you have a degree, you have an undergrad degree in microbiology, and that plays into this book a lot, right?
It does.
Tell us what's the intersection of, like, what's the dirty skin thing?
This is a very evidence-based approach. I'm a total dork. I'm a total nerd. I actually graduated, like, number one in my class at Yale. I went on for a full tuition scholarship to University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine. Like,
we got a nerd in the house.
I mean, when I talk to you, I'm not just saying, like, eat well, sleep well, beauty sleep is great.
What is that?
This is based on science. Like, the beauty of dirty skin talks about how healthy skin is not just limited to the surface. It goes much deeper, all the way down to the level of what's called the microbiome.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the microbiome? Everyone keeps talking
about this. Thank you for asking
this.
Because people are like, yeah, microbiome. But they have no idea what it means. And most people don't still understand fully what the microbiome
means. Can I tell you something? I've been in a million meetings with so many beauty companies, beauty editors. I'm not naming and shaming because I've been guilty of this too. We all sit and we it's all about the microbiome.
And you all have this like wink, wink, like, I don't know.
Okay, I was in a meeting where a story was pitched about the microbiome, and someone was like, the microbiome is so done, it's so over. Nobody even knows what we're talking about. Okay, well, I know some editors are like, Jess, we
has
do.
Has just begun.
It's still on the cusp.
It's very much on the cusp, on the cutting edge, and it's going to transform the future of medicine and health. So we think of the microbiome. I'm sure you guys have heard of eating yogurt with probiobiotics. Okay.
I texted Jen today. I emailed her. I said, can't we just eat yogurt?
That's literally what she said to me.
When we were prepping for this big interview.
Awesome. So that is a really good place to start. But that's where most people recognize. That's where sort of that concept came in. We know something about the fact that if you eat yogurt, it's got these healthy bacteria in them called probiotics, and that's good for our guts. Right?
Somehow, all yogurt?
It helps with our intestines, and that's a good thing. And some people even know that it helps with your immune system.
But is it everything?
It's like yogurt that says live active culture.
Okay.
But it has to be low in sugar, and we'll get into that in a bit.
Okay, thanks.
But basically, the microbiome refers to those friendly microorganisms, primarily bacteria, that support our health and share a powerful, mutually beneficial relationship with our bodies. We are more bacteria than we are human, which is insane to think about that. But we actually, for every one human cell on your body, you have between 3 and 10 bacterial cells either above it or just below it.
How much does my microbiome weigh?
That's a great question. When you step on the scale.
Let's kill all my bacteria and I'll lose 5 pounds.
5 pounds.
Really?
3 to 6 pounds.
Wow.
3 to 6 pounds of your weight
in
are
my
actually
gut,
attributed
on my skin.
To the microscopic bugs that are either in your gut or on
wow.
your skin. And I love that you said on your skin.
Okay.
Because a lot of people think about the microbiome and they think about the gut. And the gut, it's absolutely important. And the gut microbiome is very important when it comes to the health of the skin. But what's equally as important is the skin microbiome. So our skin has trillions of bacteria from over 1,000 different species crawling and swarming all over our skin, diving in our belly button, climbing through our eyelashes, even right when we get out of the shower.
Yeah.
And we're covered in those bacteria. And we were all raised with this germ theory. We were raised to think bacteria are bad, bacteria cause infection.
Yeah.
But the vast majority of bacteria that we're in contact with are actually critical to our health. And we need to learn how to love and nurture and support those bugs if we're going to be healthy and if we're going to have healthy, glowing skin. So having beautiful skin and the beauty of dirty skin is about sort of getting to learn to love your bugs, loving your good bugs, embracing and nurturing, being like, you know what? I'm covered in bugs and like, that's okay. And I want to love these guys. Like, which one should I love and how should I love them up so that I have great skin?
Question.
We've got a hand raised in the room. Yes.
So this has been such a hot topic on our fan Facebook page. If you're not subscribed, If you're not in it, please click in Fat Mascara Raising a Wand. Everyone's talking about these exfoliating toners like, you know, Glossier The Solution, Paula's Choice, Biologique Rechercheur, whatever, P50. They completely, I don't want to say strip, but they're all about kind of exfoliating, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Does this
disrupt the microbiome?
You, thank you.
Yeah, does it?
So if
what are your thoughts
on this
kind of stuff?
If you exfoliate more than twice a week, most people, that's enough. If you exfoliate more than twice a week, you can disrupt or harm your microbiome on your skin, meaning you can shift the balance of bugs on your skin. And when you shift the balance of bugs on your skin and you lose that harmony, it can actually pave the road for skin issues like redness, blotchiness, skin sensitivity, premature aging, breakouts. So there's a fine balance. The number one skincare mistake that people make in America is that they're over cleansing, they're over scrubbing. So we are literally reaching for things like antibacterial cleansers, Purell hand sanitizers. We're using antibiotics. We're using, we're reaching for Buff Puffs, loofahs, washcloths, scrubs, things that are instruments that are physically rubbing and scrubbing away our microbiome. And then we're surprised that now more than ever, we're facing an epidemic of chronic skin conditions. We're seeing more adult acne. Like in my practice, you said, do you see acne? Like, of course, I'm doing cosmetic procedures, but I can tell you 90% of the women that I'm treating are also struggling with acne or rosacea or eczema or some other issues. So yes, it comes up all day long, every day. And so many of my patients come to me and they say, it's not fair. Like, wait, I'm supposed to be thinking about Botox and wrinkles. I shouldn't have Botox and acne. Right, like, like, that's not fair. So there's something called the gut-brain-skin axis. So the gut, the brain, and the skin are all connected. And I'll walk you through how that works. But basically, the take-home message at the end of the day is if you're genetically prone to acne and you mess up your gut-brain-skin axis, it shows up as an acne flare. If you're genetically prone to rosacea and you mess up your gut-brain-skin axis, it shows up as a rosacea flare. So it is definitely a combination of what you're genetically prone to plus you're taking care of your microbiome and taking care of your gut and taking care of your brain so that you can ultimately tackle that axis. So let me just give you in a nutshell what that axis means.
You say axis like A-X-I-S?
Yeah, okay. A-X-I-S or gut-brain-skin connection. So the gut, the brain, and the skin are very, very intimately connected.
The brain and the skin.
Yes.
Okay.
So if you think about it, so psychological stress. So anything that triggers stress, it can be like a work deadline, a fight with a friend, either alone or in combination with refined processed comfort foods devoid of fiber, basically our typical Western diet, have been shown to slow gut motility. They slow down digestion in the gut.
And
when that happens, it creates a shift in the bacteria in our gut. It messes with our biome. It's it's bad to the biome, okay? So when we get that shift in the microbiome in our gut, it leads to something called leaky gut. So the intestinal barrier becomes compromised and the toxins, all the bad stuff that's supposed to stay in your intestines are now being released into your bloodstream and triggering inflammation in your skin. So if you're prone to psoriasis and you're stressed out and eating the wrong foods, it comes out as psoriasis. If you're prone to acne and you're stressed out and not feeding your microbiome the way you should through your diet, it's going to show up as acne. So it's not one thing for everybody, but it's all connected.
So are you someone who would say that, you know, eating chocolate may contribute to acne or basically eating junk food may contribute to acne?
So those are amazing questions. Chocolate doesn't affect your skin. And based on those studies, they actually made all of the dermatology textbooks, all of the websites, every reference that we were taught, that I was personally taught when I was in dermatology training, told me that diet has no effect on the skin. And if a patient comes to you and says, I think when I eat chocolate, my skin breaks out, we're supposed to dismiss that as myth and hand them a prescription and say, that's a myth. What you eat has nothing to do with your skin. But what's so crazy is that I went back to those chocolate studies and they would never have been published in today's journals.
Why?
Because they weren't done looking at chocolate, like cocoa.
Right.
Cocoa or chocolate, like cacao, 70% cocoa powder or cocoa or cacao is wonderful for the skin. It's loaded with antioxidants.
But like
it's
a soft batch, simple carbohydrate chocolate chip cookie.
Thank you. A Hershey's chocolate bar.
With a lot of sugar.
Has tons of sugar. Yeah. And sugar is the number one skin saboteur.
So it's not the cocoa, it's the sugar. It's not,
and the trans fatty acids and the sugar. So So if you know, if you're having exactly the same amount of sugar and exactly the same amount of trans fats in both of those bars, but one of them has cocoa and one doesn't have cocoa, that's not really a test.
Right.
Honestly, I'm not about elimination diets. I'm not about anything crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things, like, you have to live life. You have to enjoy life. I'm probably one of the only dermatologists who, like, loves the sun. I love being outside. I wear sun protective clothing and I wear sunscreen, but I'm outside all day long and I love it.
Live
and
your life.
I'm never somebody who says, like, stop exercising because you have rosacea and exercise can flare your rosacea. Like, that's not the way that I practice. Yeah. And I don't think that's unrealistic. So I don't think that's a realistic
approach.
So
if we're trying not to eat the sugar and the simple carbs, obviously we know fiber, fruit, vegetables is good. Tell me about this probiotic business, though. If I'm eating all this stuff, do I really need the yogurt, the kombucha, the fermented stuff? Why?
So you do absolutely want to. Right now, your gut flora, the type of bacteria living in your gut, have a profound say in the health of your skin mm-hmm. and in your overall health. Actually, they play a major role in your metabolism.
Yeah.
And your risk for diabetes, obesity, autoimmune diseases.
Why are you, like, holding your chair,
the
Jessica?
The science is unbelievable.
Tell me what to eat.
And I hate to say it, but it's not just cutting out sugar. It's cutting out artificial sweeteners as well. And I see Jess is drinking a Diet Coke. And I'm totally calling her out. I'm so sorry.
Why is that bad?
You're sabotaging your microbiome
now. Your microbiome.
So it is real. We used to think, oh, but artificial sweeteners, they're inert. They're not effective. Us, they just pass through
it's
us.
It's been great, like, having you calories. Here, Dr. Bo.
I'm like a total buzzkill right now.
The bus to Chappaqua has just pulled up.
So tell us why. You don't want to eat the things that are going to hurt your microbiome, but you do want to try to replenish and restore a healthy microbiome.
So what does aspartame do to the microbiome? Seriously.
So your artificial sweeteners totally kill off your microbiome. They're very, very harmful. They disrupt that healthy balance.
Is it they make it more acidic or more basic or like?
They actually are toxic to the healthy bacteria in your gut. So they will kill off the bacteria in your gut. And there's studies showing that people who drink artificially sweetened beverages are at higher risk for diabetes than people who drink sugar, normal sugar.
Because they're bacteria?
It's affecting the bacteria in their gut.
I have a question.
And that's huge. Yes.
Okay. I also, like, have a lot of yogurt. Like, I had yogurt for lunch, and I had yogurt last night as a snack. Am I helping balance it out a little bit?
You are. I am loving that you're having some yogurt.
I love yogurt.
I love it. So.
And I have I have Culturelle probiotics
amazing,
every day.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Yes. Deemed.
Okay.
I know, but I get what you're saying.
So
and
it's
I'm
not
it
equal.
Hard.
It's not like the plus and the minus, you know, so we sort of want to still incentivize you to
like for every
Diet Coke,
have a cup of like kefir.
No, I think it's about scaling back. I think that's what she.
Have you ever tried kombucha instead of a Diet Coke? Because I used to be an artificial sweetener addict.
I did try it. Yeah,
addict.
But like, why do we need the probiotic stuff?
Right. Let's
like
the
yogurt and the
things we add. And first,
Culturelle.
We spent the first few minutes talking about all the things I'm not letting you eat. So let's talk about things I am encouraging you to eat because there's so many options available.
One real like soda a day, maybe.
Like
a real one,
would,
like a root beer.
If you have to indulge, I'd rather you have real sugar. Yes. So I'd rather you
like
have
Mexican
a real
Coke with the true sugar.
But there's real sugar in kombucha, and it's actually if you can adjust your palate to embrace that tartness, because that tartness means it's fermented, and the fermented means that all those good bacteria are in there, and they're going to help to restore. And
but don't I have
gut.
Bacteria in there? Why do I need to add in kombucha's little bacteria?
Because you want the good bacteria, you want the healthy bacteria.
My body doesn't have enough of those guys.
You personally, I'm not sure. I'd have to take a stool sample, and I'd have to see exactly which kind of bacteria are growing. But we do know that people who have poor eating habits, if we actually look at the bacteria in their gut, they're totally different from people who are eating.
Do you do that regularly in your practice with a skin patient? Like do a stool sample to like find out what their bacteria is doing?
So that's a fascinating topic. And there's actually companies now that are emerging that are able to look at your gut microbiome and even your skin microbiome. Huh. And they will at some point in the future be able to give you helpful feedback and tell you, number one, do you have the right types of strains for what you're trying to deal with? Like you're genetically prone to acne. Like you should be supplementing with this probiotic
that's
supplement or using this strain, you're looking for this strain. But right now we don't have that.
I mean, there's
data.
Thousands. You said there's
where
thousands.
Where are these companies? Like, are they like
they're
in
emerging.
Switzerland or
they're,
are
they
like
they're,
here?
No, they're definitely coming here. They're working on it. What they're doing is they're building databases.
You walked in with your pretty, pretty princess hair. Jen said that we could talk about this.
I didn't ask her.
I wanted to ask her right away, and she said, we'll talk about it on the podcast. So, listen, I've been waiting this whole time. What's going on with this hair?
It's like the hair from a doll when we were little. It's so pretty.
Thank you. And you happen to have beautiful hair as
thank
well.
Thank you. Thank you. But yours is like done.
So I will tell you how I take care of my hair, and then I'll also tell you how I eat for my hair, because I do believe
it's going to be diet.
I knew it. Like, everything has to be like, you have to suffer.
Oh, it's not suffering. Tell us. It's all about fat, actually.
Okay.
All
right.
Hair.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Make sure you're getting
we're listening.
Lots of fats.
Okay. Okay. Keep going.
So, like avocado and flaxseed and chia seeds and olive oil and anything with omega-3 fatty acids, like eggs that are, you know, cage-free or pasture-raised
eggs.
Okay. Those are great for hair. So, you want to get fat for your hair.
I should add that you have beautiful, like, blonde hair for people that may not know what you look
like. You Google
like.
Her.
Like
this, but it's like, long, too.
It's long, shiny,
I don't know why it doesn't get thinner at the ends. It almost gets thicker at the ends.
That's what I mean. It's like a doll.
Yeah.
So that's...
What else?
I do not wash my hair every single day. And that was... My hair used to be a mess. I remember in college, I would wash it. I thought we were supposed to shampoo and conditioner.
The beauty of dirty hair. It's your next book.
It's all about not washing your hair.
So how often do you wash it?
So basically every 3 to 4 days,
okay.
I'll shampoo. And thank goodness for dry shampoo. It's one of my the best inventions on earth, because I do get a little bit of oiliness at the scalp, mm-hmm. especially if I'm doing Orange Theory or sweating it out. It'll get a little greasy, towards the root. So what I'll do is I'll shampoo and condition. I love Oribe. It's my favorite product mm-hmm. line.
It's a pod favorite.
It is definitely mm-hmm. my favorite. And then I travel with it. I'm weird about my hair stuff. Mm-hmm. And then at night, I wash it at night and I'll let it dry. I'll put one of those Aquas hair towels mm-hmm. on, because it absorbs a lot of the water without having to rely on heat. So then it's pretty dry already, just using that towel for a little bit while I'm walking around. And then, if it's still a little damp, I'll put a towel on my pillowcase. And then I'll wake up in the morning, it'll be dry. And then I use a Conair wand. It's 3/4 inch and it slowly tapers. Mm-hmm. So what I'll do is I'll first put on a spray that's one of those heat protective sprays, just mm-hmm. to make sure I'm not damaging the hair. But I didn't blow dry my hair the night before.
Right.
Right. So I let it dry naturally, which gave it a lot of volume. But then in the morning, I'll spray the hair to protect it.
Right.
And then I'll use the wand. And what I love about the wand is that it basically almost looks like it's meant to fall out. Like, it looks better every day after you do it.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So as it falls out, you have those beachy waves. It's not a defined curl. I hate that Shirley Temple curl. I love Shirley Temple. But I don't love her banana curls. You don't want to have those perfectly defined curls.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like the fact that it looks very deconstructed, it's sort of falling out, and then it sort of gets better the second hair, the second day, the third day, the fourth day. And if I get a little greasy at the root, I'll use a dry shampoo.
Which one?
So I either use Oribe or I use one called, I think it's Refresh. Does that make sense to you?
Color is the bottle?
Refresh, maybe. It's pale pink.
Look into this.
Refresh, potentially.
Is there a period in the middle of the word?
Does it have a colon?
Yeah.
I think it does. Yes. Yeah. That's why I said fresh, then I'm refresh.
I can picture it.
Me too.
Okay, I think that's the one that I'm using.
We'll put it on the blog and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We didn't talk makeup or fragrance. Are you a perfume person? Don't tell us perfume's killing our bacteria.
I'm not much of a perfume person.
Okay, but it's not killing our bacteria.
No.
Okay.
Okay. We've got to make some changes, Dr. Bo.
But
you guys are looking pretty good. You're doing pretty well here.
Thanks, but this was inspiring.
So
thank
inspiring.
You.
Thanks for teaching us about the microbiome.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Love your bugs, girls.
Jess, guess what time it is?
What time is it?
Time for you to get married. Just kidding. It's time.
Oh my gosh.
It's time to raise a wand. What do you have this week?
I have a new fragrance.
Ooh.
And I am so excited about it. It's by the brand called Eris mm-hmm. Parfums. Mm-hmm. This is just a tiny sample. That's all I
MX
have.
And it's not a year? They're not trying to do Roman numerals?
No, it's...
Ooh.
Now, what do you think of when you smell that?
I think of the men's, my dad's cologne, but really modernized and softened down to vetivery, warm green, herbal, and maybe there's a little lavender in there. And
you win a prize.
Oh, I do.
Because MX is about replacing the Mr. and the Mrs., the Ms.
Oh.
It's all about gender fluidity.
Okay.
Okay. Very 2018. And it's supposed to be for a man, for a woman, has ginger, saffron, vetiver, black pepper. But then it has, I love this, ready? An animalic purr to it.
Okay, now we know why you liked it.
No, I did not read this description until after I smelled it.
Anything with a cat association.
But it has this very sexy hum to it that you just kind of like, you want to get closer to the person, but it's not like cozy cocoa fragrance.
Mm.
Mystery to it. And a refined gentleman is waiting for you in the study.
He is. He might be from Outlander, like Jamie from Outlander, and be really hot and
sexy.
Have a whiskey for me. All right, you win, because mine is not anywhere near as sexy. I'm raising a wand to a Bath and Body Works product. I try all their new stuff, and so many times I'm like, it's too much fragrance.
Yeah,
it's too much sparkle. It's just over the top. But they have this active skincare line that I think is like their athleisure line. And one of the products is the Shave Plus Shower 2-in-1 Oil Body Cleanser. And I grabbed it from the beauty closet because I was like, oh, I need shave cream, and there was no shave cream. And then I ended up liking it just for my altogether shower experience. So I've been shaving with it and using it as my cleanser. Thank you, Bath & Body Works. It does not smell like candy canes and butterflies. It has a nice, fresh, clean scent, very subdued for them, very moisturizing. It's like this golden liquid. Jess is raising her hand. Yes, Jess.
Is it a cream?
No, it's an actual oil, but it emulsifies in the water to become more creamy. But you can shave with it just like an oil.
Do we need to be careful after usage not to slip in the shower?
Did not make my shower slippery like certain sugar scrubs with the oil layer on top. You know which ones I'm talking about. Did not have that problem at all. Best of all, it's $6.50, which I feel like in the drugstore, you can get like your Dial or whatever is practically $6 now. So it's your cleanser and your shave oil, and it smells good. And shout out to BB Dubs.
Love it. BB Dubs, take hold. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.